There was a man. He was lost in the desert. He was dying of thirst, and he was staggering looking for the place to where he can get a drink of water. He found this kind of old ranch, run-down shack. So he stumbled into it and opened the door, and there was nothing except old rusty water pump. He ran to the water pump, started up and down using handles, trying to get some water, and there was nothing coming out. And he was staggering back, and his eyes caught a little jug on the side of this water pump. And he looked at it, he picked it up, it was full. So he shook it, and he can tell it was a liquid. So he opened the jug top and looked at it. Sure enough, there was a water. But same time, he was about to drink the water, but there was a note on the side of this jug. It says, "You need to prime the pump with all of this, its water." Now, all of a sudden, he's in dilemma. I can drink this water, survive a little longer. Or I can dump this water into the pump and prime it and pump the water. Maybe I'll get to have a fresh and cool water as much as I want. Or maybe nothing. Maybe it was just somebody pulling the fast one on me. He decided he's going to dump the water into the pump, and he started to pump. He pumped about 3 or 4 times, nothing, squeaking sound, nothing. He vigorously pumped a few more times. All of a sudden, you can see the little bit trickle of water coming out from the pump. And so he pumped more, and now it started coming out a little more. And now he got excited, so he pumped real hard, and the gushing of water was just gushing out from the pump. Of course, he stuck the jug underneath and got the water, jug full of water, and he tried again and again and again until he couldn't take any more water. Of course, on the bottom of the note that I didn't mention, before you leave, fill this jug. Somehow he found a little leftover pencil underneath. He said, "It's real, but you have to give all to get the water." Let me put it this way. Faith that costs nothing, demands nothing, is worth nothing. Let me repeat one more time. Faith that costs nothing, demands nothing, is worth nothing. That is not faith. We are going to see the several individuals, several group of people who had a great faith, at the same time, so-so faith, and some people had no faith, and there was another being that did not have right faith. We need to find out what we need to do so we may learn from these people and do right things. We may have a right faith in God. We'll start at the verse 1. We will have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to believe in you, to have a faith in you, to know that you are one true God. Your word said, without faith, it is impossible to please you. So we are asking you to teach us that we may learn to have a faith in you proper way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And 12 were with him. And certain woman who had been healed of evil spirit and infirmity, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come the 7 demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza the Herod stood, and Susanna, many others who provided for him from their substance. This woman, are you kind of unsung hero of the Bible, and that Dr. Luke chose to include in the beginning of chapter 8. special mentions because they were the key supporter of Jesus Christ. Former fishermen, former tax collectors left their job and pretty soon their money ran out. And how could they support themselves while they were on the road? They couldn't. These people came along using their own finance to support Jesus Christ and his disciples. So why did they went through that kind of trouble? Because Jesus changed their lives. Their lives been touched by his grace, his love, and for them, he embraced them. And some of them, he delivered them out of infirmity as well as demons. In other words, God gave them second chance. So gratitude was just flowing out of their heart with the generosity and love for Jesus Christ. Mary, who called as Magdalene, she was from a place called Magdala, and she had 7 demons. And out of her, the 7 demons came out, and of course, Jesus is the one who cast them out. In loving response, she would cling to her Savior and supported him throughout his 3-year ministry. Not only that, she was the only one who went to the foot of the cross and watched him dying, and then went to the burial site, and she is the one who delivered the first message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the unbelieving disciples. There were a great controversy and conspiracy regarding Mary Magdalene. Somehow, these Hollywood directors and producers and liberal Bible scholars try their best, somehow they connect Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ romantically. You don't find any proof anywhere for that kind of thing. That is real. So if somebody tells you there is some sort of romantic relationship or sexual relationship between Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, tell them to go take a hike, long hike. Verse 18. No one, when he has a little... by the way, so those who don't know what happened was from the verse 4 to the verse 15, we already studied, so we're skipping to the verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covered it with a vessel or oil, put it under the bed, but set it on the lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is a secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and came to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. For whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Disciples were kind of perplexed because whenever Jesus standing in front of a big audience, big congregation, he give them parable. But when he's alone with the disciples, he explains them about the parable, the true meaning of a parable. As if Jesus doesn't want to reveal the truth to the big congregation. And they wonder, why? What's the reason? That's opposite to them. It's easy for someone to think that he's a spiritual because he's listening to the one preacher after another preacher from the Christian radio station or listening to the iPod. That's fine and dandy. However, just because that person is listening to the teaching and marking the Bible, taking a note, then never practice what he's learning, he's only fooling himself. Just because somebody is underlining Bible and highlight this thing, that doesn't mean that person is doing what he's supposed to do. Unless we do what we believe, we are not really walking in God's way. Of course, James said, show me the faith, I'll show you the work. Faith without work is dead. So let's move on to the verse 19, chapter 8. Then his mother and the brother came to him, could not approach him because of the crowd. It was told him by some who said, your mother and your brother are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it. The first group of ladies, they are the ones who listened to the word of God and they did. They practiced what they heard. However, the second group here, his own family, the very family of Jesus Christ, they didn't have a faith in Jesus Christ. And how do I know? Let's keep your finger right there. One book before the book of Luke, Mark chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3, verse 21. Sounds like Jesus doesn't want to have a close relationship with his own family. He'd rather have a relationship with somebody else. The reason is, verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, they went out of to lay hold of him. Oops, that's the wrong one. You know, that's not the right verse. His own family, I've all of a sudden forgotten. 33. Yeah. There it is. Oh, verse 31. I wrote it. When his brother and his mother came standing outside, they and sent to him, calling him, a multitude was sitting around him and said to him, look, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother, who is and my brother? He looked around the circle and those who sat around and said, here is my mother, who is my brother, and whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. The reason is because they did not believe the claim that he made, that he's a Messiah. As his disciple, we must take the heed what we hear and how we hear, because God will hold us accountable. That's the main reason why the many people don't want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, because they are all of a sudden they become accountable. Listening to the wrong things and even the listening to the right thing with the wrong attitude will rob us the blessing of truth and blessing. If we are faithful to receive the word of God and share it, then God will give us more. But if we fail to become light, be a light of Him, and we will lose what we have. And it is important, it's a solemn thing to hear the word of God and do the word of God. Verse 22. Now it happened a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, said to him, would you on the line cross over to the other side of the lake? The other side of the lake. And he launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And windstorm came down on the lake. They were filling with the water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. They ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, and saying to one another, on the line next phrase, who can this be? For his command, he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. Jesus has the divine appointment. If you remember, the Sea of Galilee is kind of potato shaped, kind of long. Capernaum is up in the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. Do we have a map on that thing? There it is. Capernaum is located, as soon as I find the pointer, right here. And they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and going to the Gerasene, which is the east coast, the east bank of the Sea of Galilee. Somehow, in our Western mind, our idea of the opposite, it would be south side, right? But in Israel's mind, going to going across, is it good enough for them as an opposite? Jesus had a divine appointment to meet these two demon-possessed men. So he had a complete peace in his heart from God, from his Father. It also showed that Jesus was he was sleeping. In other words, it shows the humanity of Jesus Christ, even though God himself does not never slumber. So keep your finger here again, and let's go to the Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121. Verse 3 and 4. If you ever wonder God will use his answering machine to record your prayer, he doesn't do that. It says that he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keep you will not slumber. Behold, he who keep Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. There's no such a thing as the call waiting for the answering machine in God's prayer. He will answer your prayer. He will hear your prayer every time you pray to him. What the disciple of Jesus, like the rest of us, did not realize, the faith must be tested before it can be trusted. It is one thing to learn about the new spiritual truth, but it's quite something else to practice that truth in everyday experienced life. Folks, disciples' problem is not the storm around them, but the unbelief within them. Did you hear me? Storm is not an issue, unbelief within. That unbelief is more dangerous than the storm around them. Disciples failed the test of faith because they did not hold up the word that he said, "We will cross to the opposite." When Jesus said that we will do something, he meant it will happen. It's not something maybe or possibility. Faith is not believing in spite of circumstance, rather believing in spite of feeling or the consequences. What might happen? As a matter of fact, our church is facing that situation. Are we going to take a step of faith, or are we going to just play safe? If God is in it, we will take a step, gigantic step of faith. If God is in it, he will provide. If God is in it, he will take care of what we need. It's obeying is the disciples looked around and saw the storm. Disciples looked inside, saw their own fear. You know one thing they forgot? They forgot to look up and didn't see God, because their faith clouded them. Faith and fear cannot coexist in the same heart. Once faith comes in, fear goes out. Once fear comes in, faith goes out. Verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of Gadarene, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out of the land, there they met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, and nor did he live in the house, but in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had opened, seized him. He was kept under guard, bound with the chains and shackles. He broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because there many demons had entered him. They begged him that he would not command them to go into abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. He permitted them, and then the demons went out of the man, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. According to the book of Matthew, then chapter 8, you will find it's a difference, same incident, more than one person. And you may say, well, see, there's a controversy. there's a contradicting one another. It is not. Because according to Dr. Luke, he only recorded one person's word. One is more vocal, the other one is not. And these people are pitiful. They are demon-possessed. They are not in right mind. And they're living in the tomb. And violently. They are completely controlled by these demons. Have you ever seen somebody who has been demon-possessed? I have. While I was carrying, my family were ministering in the downtown Tucson in the Five Point area. There are a lot of people who are they're homeless people. One particular lady, we remembered, named Virginia, she was completely demon-possessed. You wouldn't know what kinds of words would come out of her. And when she's not controlled by the demon, she would be a normal person. And in a split second, she would turn completely controlled by the demons. And you can just see from her eyes. Demon had a great deal of knowledge about Jesus Christ. They have seen him before they fell from heaven. But the knowledge of Jesus Christ will not and cannot save them. Just like that, many people in America, the millions of people in America who have knowledge about Jesus Christ, yet they are not born again Christian, and they too will not enter into the kingdom of God. It's not about the knowledge of Jesus, but the personal relationship with Jesus Christ make the difference. James 2:19 says, let's go there. Right after the book of Hebrews, right before 1 Peter. James 2:19, please. And some of you are thinking, aren't you done yet? I only have a couple more hours to go. Relax. You believe that there is just one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Demons acknowledge that there is a God and they know that He is one true God. Demonic possession can happen when the demonic spirit enters into the person and take over the character, take over the vocal cord. Demonic possession is a reality today. It's not something it happened 2,000 years ago and never happened again. It happens. We don't know how exactly it happened, but I believe the same way we invite Holy Spirit into our heart, and when we receive Jesus Christ, we invite Holy Spirit into our heart. That's how it happens many times. Folks, I believe that the person, when they make themselves available to demonic spirit through a lot of demonic music, young people, listen carefully. The music you listen, you have to have a discernment. Otherwise, you get to have a lot of garbage. I know some of you think that, well, you're such an old fogey, you don't know our music. I'm just listening to the beat. Guess what? You can find the same kind of beat in Christian music. You tell me any type of music that you cannot find in Christian music. Why not listen to the good music instead of those horrible lyrics? If you're playing with the superstitions and the fortune telling, for horoscope or newspaper, you're getting into that kind of thing, or palm reading, New Age movement, or some of you guys into the Ouija board, or Dungeon and Dragon stuff, whether it's a board game or the video game, you're literally opening yourself vulnerable to yourself to demons. You may say, well, this is not real. It is true real, more real than your own breathing. Don't get into New Age stuff. Don't think that you are God. There are so many people running around there thinking that they are God. That's why we have this kind of chaotic situation in the world. All the demon possessions around the world is no match for all the demonic forces around the world and no match for the single command of Jesus Christ. If God says, Jesus said, you are out, they are out. Don't believe what this Hollywood said, they try to portray the demons, devil is, and God as arch rival. They are not. It's a one-sided game. You may ask, what is the abyss? How many of you guys saw the title, or some of you might have seen the movie called Abyss, done by the James Cameron, some 1980s. They said it was one of the best movies. And it was something to do with the Russian submarine and possible UFO stuff. It's a completely out of context. Abyss is an immeasurable depth, a pit, where this holding cell of the demonic spirit is going to be. Those who left their own domain and getting into going against God's will, they are the ones who end up in there. That's why they don't want to be there, and that's why they begged Jesus not to send them to abyss. Verse 34. When those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told that in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of surrounding region of Gadarene asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. Would you underline great fear, please? He got into the boat and returned. So far, we saw the several different group of people who supported Jesus because they had a faith in him, the family who did not have a faith in him, the disciples who did not have a faith in him, and demons who had the wrong kinds of faith in him. And now we have a people who rather have a faith in their own wealth, their own riches, than Jesus Christ. In my opinion, this is one of the saddest verses mentioned in the scripture. To them, money is more important, so they ask Jesus to leave. All these things, the money and the riches and the power and sex or drugs, whatever you can think of, the worldly thing, will be perished. However, eternal life will continue, either heaven or hell. It's our choice to accept heaven, the truth of God, that will decide ultimate destination. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, your eternal destination is in heaven. If you say no to God, so many times your heart will be so callous, you no longer hear his invitation, then you are asking for hell. No, by nobody's choice but yours. Verse 38. Now when men from the demons had departed, begged him that he might be with him, and Jesus went and sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what the great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great thing Jesus has done for him. This brand new believer, he had a faith in Jesus Christ. He was pleading to Jesus that he might be with Jesus Christ. In my opinion, this one person had a more spiritual discernment than the whole city put together. Let's make an application. Number one, faith and fear cannot coexist in the same heart. Either we submit to our own worry and fear and let them torture our lives, or we can rest and find shelter in our one true God. Second application. The devil can sure shake our faith, but he cannot make us to do something we don't want to do. We make a conscious choice to do it. So, idea of the devil made me to do it does not work. Third, our God stands next to us and is ready to give us his strong, righteous right hand to guide us through any temptation, any trial. But we are the one who have to take his first step to toward Him. He is ready to help us. It's our choice.